This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we begin the second hour of the show. I'm Grace Hermington with Will Hill, taking you through all the action today. NBA Finals, NHL Finals, the Memorial Tournament, it's all going on. But first, a couple baseball scores for you. The Twins and Mariners still scoreless in the bottom of the fourth, but Seattle with a man on first and one out. Luis Castillo has gone 4 innings, allowing 3 hits with 3 strikeouts. Chris Paddock on the mound for Minnesota has gone 3 1/3 so far, allowing 1 hit and 3 strikeouts for him. I did bet the Twins money line plus 124 last night. They have left 4 batters on base, so they should be leading here. Cubs leading 7-3 against the Reds in the top of the ninth. And D-backs leading the Nationals 3-0 in the top of the fourth. Corbin Burns allowing 3 hits and 3 innings pitched with 5 strikeouts. I believe his K-prop closed at 5.5 at DraftKings, plus 110 to the over. So he's in good position to cover that one. We do have a game about to throw first pitch in less than 10 minutes. So let's get our thoughts on this one here. The Padres minus 152 at home, Pitt plus 127 with a total of 8.5. It's Andrew Heaney, the lefty, going against Randy Vasquez. Will, what are your thoughts on this game?
You tell me. Both pitchers stink. Both offenses stink. I don't know what to do with it. I probably, if I had to play it, play under 4.5 in the first 5. I know Heaney's due for some negative regression. So is Vasquez. But you look at the game by game, stat by stat. Or start by start, I should say. I mean, Vasquez has been okay. He really good start to the season. He's been shaky lately. I think you had a pretty good angle. Did you play over 1.5 walks for Heaney? Because he's been really struggling with his command. That might be the best play of all of these, Heaney over 1.5 walks. Is that your favorite play in this game?
I do believe that is my favorite play. The over 1.5 walks at minus 115. He's gone over this line in 6 straight games. Facing the Padres, who rank 10th in racking up walks against lefties, they're also 2nd in strikeout rate. So despite their bats not having much power, they do put the ball in play, and they're disciplined at the plate. Heaney, as you mentioned, struggling with his command, a 9.4% walk rate. His strikeout rate, the lowest it's been in over a decade. So it's down to a little bit over 17%. So, yeah, looking for ways to fade him. It's the offenses is what makes this difficult, because it's hard to believe in the Pirates any day of the week. The Padres, we're still waiting for it to happen with them. You do have somewhat good hitting weather today. It's 77 degrees, 70% humidity. Those winds are blowing across the field toward the right, though. So that wouldn't really carry. It wouldn't give us a boost if the ball is hit in the air, but I don't know. I would kind of like to believe in the Padres in this one. They're projected for 5.2 runs over at Ballpark Powell, if you want to take a risk there on their team total. But yeah, I think Andrew Heaney over 1.5 walks here. That is the move.
I like it. It's a good angle, and there's just so many markets to play this stuff where, yeah, I remember a time where you could just play the side, the total, maybe the run line. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much it. Now you could just play, you know, pitcher walks, hitter walks, run scored, batter props in terms of the hits, the RBIs, any sort of niche market. And the more niche, the better, because the more the books have to hang numbers on this stuff, the less likely it is that they're going to post all of this stuff correctly. So if you dig in and you do your research, again, you're going to have a hard time. The books are going to have a hard time pricing all this stuff correctly. So I really like that walks prop. That's a good one. It's not the funnest one to root for. That's one, if you bet it, you just kind of, let the game play out and maybe check after 3 or 4 innings where you're at, because to sit there and just root for guys to walk, well, maybe it is fun. I don't play that market that much, but the data certainly backs up your play. I'll say that.
It does. Yeah. And I'm more of a K prop person or an outs. But hey, we'll take a walks too. Yeah, I mean, we just need some action here in the afternoon. So I'm glad we found something. I do want to get an update here on the Memorial Tournament. For those who missed it last night, Ben Griffin, of course, was leading after the second, first and second rounds. Kind of a chaotic end to the day. Scottie Scheffler finishes his third round with back-to-back birdies on 17 and 18. It was four birdies out of his last five holes. He moves into a tie with Ben Griffin, and then Griffin bogeys the 18th hole. So Scottie Scheffler at the end of the third round yesterday was the minus 300 favorite to win. And he is continuing the momentum today with two birdies, a bogey. He is now 9-under for the tournament with a 3-stroke lead on Ben Griffin. And through 12 holes, he is pretty much feels like a lock, as he always does at this point. Minus 3,000 to win. Ben Griffin is 30-1 as he sits at 6-under for the tournament, 3 strokes back of the lead. Nick Taylor and Sepp Straka, 1 stroke back of Ben Griffin, tied for third. They are 4 strokes back of Scottie. Nick Taylor, 250-1, according to the PGA leaderboard. Sepp Straka, 40-1. We both bet Sepp outright yesterday, which was certainly not a bad play. But now I'm kind of wishing we played him in the without Scottie Scheffler market. He's actually the favorite to win there at minus 140. Or in a top finish market. I suppose we should have edited our bets, but it was a good call by Kelly Bidlin when he joined us nonetheless.
It was a good call, but I don't know. Doesn't look like it's going to cash our bet. I get so frustrated with golf betting. I don't know how I do. I'm a very recreational golf bettor. That was a sport I didn't bet a lot until really COVID, because if you remember in 2020, that was like the first sport back, one of the first sports back that summer. June, July, baseball wasn't back. NBA did the bubble, but they weren't back. Football wasn't obviously until the fall. Itching to bet. I listened to a lot of the people at VSiN, the Long Shots podcast. I cashed, man, like 4 or 5 outrights in the first like 6 months. Oh. I thought I was so smart. It is dried up a little bit since it's hard to win these. So I know people will tell you, and look, the people on VSiN do a great job. Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Matt Humans. We've got some incredible, incredible golf handicappers. Go to VSiN.com, check them out, check out the Long Shots podcast. They'll tell you though, the matchups are really where it's at. It's hard to get home these outrights unless you want to really, you know, sprinkle a unit, couple units into 6, 7 different guys to just take a shot in the dark in the 15, 20, 30, 40 to run range. Is tough. And this is a sport, it's appealing because you see it all the time where 70, 80 to one guys get home. It's tough because it's a needle in a haystack. So it feels good when they can finally get home, but you can go a long time between drinks of water, between actually hitting these outrights. It can get frustrating at times.
Yeah, I think the way I've found to bet it successfully is I'll typically just ladder guys that I like who, you know, they're good in recent form. They have a good course history. They fit the skill set required for the course. And I'll just ladder them from top 20, top 10, top 5 to outright. But if you do hit, you know, 1 or 2 outrights a year, you should be good. Sure. I was able to hit Joe Highsmith earlier this year when he won the Cognizant Classic, 120-1. Actually probably my biggest golf win of all time. But I like DFS as well. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And I think it's especially fun to play the contrarian card and kind of fade, you know, the top of the board. Everyone wants to play Scottie and Rory. So I think that's an easier way to find edges for me. Like I love playing live guys in DFS because everyone, you know, thinks they're evil. So like casual bettors are not putting them in their lineups, but they're just as talented, you know, as the top PGA Tour golfers in the world. So, golf's a fun one. I totally forgot about 2020. Because since you're such an big NBA fan, you brought it. I want to know your thoughts on the bubble. Because I'm not even an NBA fan. I just follow it to, like, you know, talk with people just to, you know, it's conversation.
Yeah.
But I, even back then, I was so annoyed at the bubble. I just thought the whole thing was so annoying.
I mean, it was the only way to play games though. It was a weird time. Everyone to hold people's takes and opinions from then against them. It's just, know, people had different opinions, and that's just, it's hard to discuss all of that without being political, which it's a whole avenue you don't want to go down, but it was seemingly the only way to play the games. Everyone had the same circumstances, and the games were played. So to, you know, it was that or not play the games at all. So I had no problem with it. The games were played. We were all in a position. We were dying to watch games, dying to have games to bet on. We were able to get the games in pretty much with no issues. So, you know, people that lost, like the Clippers and Bucks, teams that had a great season, well, it was the bubble. It doesn't count. You know what? Everyone had the same circumstances. So I don't give them a pass for that. I know it was you know, an odd scenario there, but it was really the only way to squeeze the games in from what, you know, we believe anyway, without any issues. So I was happy to have it at the time. And again, it is such a strange time to look back. You had baseball games with nobody in the stands, you know, star players an hour before the game. Oh, he's out, COVID restrictions. It was very weird, but it was a time where it was that or nothing, it seemed like, and was just very thirsty for sports. So I was happy to have it back at the time. Crazy to think it's like 5 years ago now, right?
I know. I'm glad we're far beyond it. The people who say the games don't count, boo, because that's when the Lightning won the first of back-to-back Stanley Cups. I remember everyone was saying, oh, it's fraudulent. But then they came back and won it the next year, which was well-deserved because as someone covering that team up close, we needed that celebration in Tampa. We got to cover back-to-back boat parades, so that was a fun time. You know what else is a fun time? Is playing the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free. Winner's Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service. And get this, you'll be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Just visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Welcome back into Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, keeping you updated in all the sports action today. An update for you here from the Memorial Tournament. Scottie Scheffler building on his lead, 9-under for the tournament. In the back nine, he's put up a bogey on 10, followed by a birdie on 11, one of the best bounce-back players out there. So he takes a four-stroke lead on Sepp Straka and Ben Griffin, who are tied for second at 5-under. Ben Griffin with back-to-back bogeys on 12 and 13. That's what drops him. Meanwhile, Sepp Straka with four birdies, two bogeys on the day to move into that second place spot. Looking at the winner without Scottie Scheffler market here, because he is now minus 7,000 to win. Sepp Straka, the favorite to win without Scottie. Yeah, minus 7,000. By the way, he's only through 13 holes with a four-stroke lead. That's absurd. The winner without Sepp Straka, the favorite there. Well, actually, he and Ben Griffin now co-favorites at minus 110. Nick Taylor, 18-1. He had been in a tie for second, but he just doubled on hole 14. Keegan Bradley is 250-1. Jordan Spieth is as well to win without Scottie. But the rest of the leaderboard here, it goes Russell Henley, Nick Taylor tied for fourth at 3-under, Ricky Fowler, Patrick Cantlay, Keegan Bradley, Jordan Spieth tied for sixth at 2-under. And then we have three more tied at 10th. So we'll be tracking that as the tournament continues. Did want to point out Ricky Fowler here too, because he's been playing some of his best golf lately. His pre-tournament odds to make the top 20 were plus 210. The top 10 were 5-1. The top 5 was 11-1. He's sitting here tied for six, with a two birdies, two bogeys on the day. So on track for even par here, but 200 for the tournament. That was his best finish here. Came a few years ago. He tied for ninth at 2-under. So looks like he could beat that, but I think Ricky's a cool guy. That would be cool for him to see. But Scottie Scheffler here on hole 14 in the fairway. We'll be following this as the
tournament continues. You know Ricky Fowler too?
I did. I don't even remember. This was like years ago. I covered a golf tournament. It could have been I don't know what would have been played in Alabama. I don't know. I've been all over the place, Will.
I guess so. You got to write a book.
Oh, gosh. Actually,
you covered
someone
Brady too,
See,
right? You covered Tom Brady.
I did. That was really fun. You know what? I'll include him in one of my nice people to cover because he really was so fun. But granted, like he and Gronk in that Tampa Bay and the beach atmosphere, it was just totally different personality. It was COVID, so we didn't get to talk to them right in person. It was over Zoom when I was there. But still, the energy was so fun, not just with the team, but in the entire city. Like you had Rays players, Lightning players who were trying out the TB12 method and trying to get his attention. You had the Tampa Bay mayor just like promoting random projects with his name on it around the city. Honestly, like just people like me, people who are not athletes, everyone I know was trying to get in on the TB12 method. It was seriously the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like houses were selling because everyone was moving to Tampa. It was wild. But he was very professional. That was a great experience. So thanks for that memory.
Rays were good that year too. I remember the Yankees and Rays the year after COVID. Both those years, the Rays made deep runs. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Tampa Bay era. Really lucked out. I had been targeting Tampa Bay for my next local news market because one of my life goals was to cover a Super Bowl. I knew it was headed there. Knew the teams were good. Didn't know they were all going to be that good at the same time. But yeah, all three pro teams reached their respective championships in the same year. Kind of bummed the Rays lost the World. Remember, it was Blake Snell in game six. Was it a game
yes.
six? I think it was.
It was. When, 1-0. They took him out,
Kevin
and then the wheels came off.
Brutal. Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't. How dare you let a guy go three times through the order?
I know. And it was during football. It was a Saturday night, and it got lost. But that game, I think it was game four, the Saturday night of that World Series. I don't know if you remember. It was one of the craziest games ever. It was like 10-9. There was a walk-off hit by the Rays. That was a great, great game. But, again, it was a COVID year. It was during football. That was a weird thing where it was like the NBA Finals, the World Series, and football were all at the same time. So it all kind of cannibalized each other. But that was, again, going down memory lane here, that was definitely a fun fun memory. And Kershaw got his first World Series title. Seager won the MVP. But, again, it all was on top of each other. I remember the Lakers won the title the same night as there was a Sunday night football game, MLB playoffs. So it was just a lot at once.
It was. I love seeing the teams that do it differently, like the Rays, have success. So I was just bummed. I mean, of course, you know, MLB wants the ratings, so they want a team like the Dodgers there, and they want a team like the Dodgers winning
right.
it. But even if I weren't attached to the Rays in any way, I just think it's so interesting to watch the Moneyball teams win. Of course, that leads to down years, like we've seen the last couple seasons, and they have to sell off all their best players, like... When Kevin Kiermaier left, you know, I mean, he was a fan favorite was he there a decade? That actually hurt. Like, people were crying. But it's cyclical. It's the cyclical nature of the sport. Let's
Wander
take a look
Franco,
at some of these.
He got traded to to prison, it seems like. That's, man, can you imagine having that much talent, having the world at your fingertips, and then just give it away and just be an idiot like that? I mean, that's just so – it's amazing. These guys are out of sight, out of mind, because we're not – look, we're betting every day. We're watching these games. But imagine, like, he was a possible MVP-level player and just disappear into oblivion because of, you know, just stupidity. Is just, man, really sad, really unfortunate on a lot of different levels. A couple of live betting things, though. We mentioned Scheffler was minus 8,000. He just dipped at DraftKings to minus 2,500, so still in firm control. But something must have happened. I got the baseball here on the side TV, so I didn't see what happened. But something bad, I'm assuming, coming up for Scheffler. So we'll see if Straka or Ben Griffin can get back in the mix. And Corbin Burnes, with a shutout in the fifth inning, completely cruising, comes out of the game. So that is not good news for Arizona. You'd have to imagine that's injury. Maybe it's just precautionary. You never know with these pitchers. I mean, it's always one bad injury, one bad tweet away from a forearm tightness or some sort of injury, and you never see him again for a long time. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. And the betting angle here, the Nationals bullpen, or the Arizona bullpen, I should say, is not good. So taking the Nats plus 3.5, home team has the lead. They might not bat in the ninth inning. I might look to Nats plus 3.5 live here, because that Arizona bullpen is not good. And now you're going to have to get, you know, 12, 13 outs here. So Burns coming out in a surprising time has to be concerning here from an Arizona perspective.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the video of him leaving the game, but right now on Twitter, all I'm seeing is that he had a really negative reaction, something that tells you it's legit. It's not like a cautionary thing. Right. The trainer came out with him, and I guess he was, from a betting perspective, it's weird when you're talking about a potentially serious injury, but this is what we do. I guess he was one strike away from completing the five full innings to potentially record a win there. So that's some type of beat if you played that. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Just really bad luck for the D-backs right now. And they were kind of supposed to threaten the Dodgers in the NL West. I mean, honestly, any of those teams, you take them out of that division, they could win anywhere. Sure. But yeah, really unlucky season for them. I'm still waiting on a score here in Twins Mariners. I want to see what those...
Nothing.
What the live odds are. Yeah. Let's see. We're about even out. Minnesota minus 111. Seattle minus 115. With a live total of 3.5 runs. Do you, when you have these scoreless games late in the game, do you ever think about betting live overs on a really low number?
It depends. It's tough though, because you know, all that needs to happen is the home team scratches one across late and then it ends, you know, 1-0 or 2-1. You're really banking on, you know, each team scoring and then getting into extra innings and then the floodgates opening. So, I mean, there's a time and a place for everything. It all depends on the situation, but in this one in particular, I don't have a feel here for the over under 3.5. I do see the Mariners have some bullpen action going here.
Okay. Yeah, that under 3.5 juiced to minus 155. So have the right mindset there. If you want to know where the money is really going, check out our betting splits on VSiN.com. They come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking the big bets from professionals, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill. And now joining us on the Progressive guest line is Jordan Robinson, basketball journalist and host of the Women's Hoop Show, with her thoughts on everything W with games going on tonight. And we'll take a look at some games in the future as well. But let's start with what we have here on the docket. Las Vegas, a 3-point road favorite in Seattle. How are you looking at this game?
Whoa, well, this is a game that you definitely want to have circled, because just last week, the Seattle Storm beat the Las Vegas Aces by 20 points, and it was ugly. Star Asia Wilson said, frankly, we just played like garbage, and they did. But now, in between then, they have been able to get a win over the Los Angeles Sparks. They look more in sync. So now to get a rematch, I think the Aces will be able to come back on top.
Do you buy this idea that the Aces are maybe living off reputation a little bit, not as good as they've been in past years? People see the Aces and just think, you know, it's like Alabama football or the Dodgers or one of these great teams. Have they trailed off a little bit? Or in your mind, are they still as good as they've been in past years?
That has been the topic of discussion all season long. You know, the thing about the Aces, when you go back to back and be back to back champions like they were in 2022 and 23, already, when you come onto the court, people were spotting them 10 points. It was this fear of, we don't want to play the Aces. They are the championship. They have the best player in the world in Asia Wilson. Now they look more human. They look beatable. We were able to see them, you know, just like last week, get beat by 20 points, start the season a little rough. So I think the Aces have a little more to prove, especially when they made that blockbuster trade in the offseason and free agency, bringing in Jewel Loyd, basically saying, we choose Jewel Loyd over Kelsey Plum. And they have to be able to prove that night after night. So I don't know. There are some teams that have a huge target when it comes to playing the Las Vegas Aces.
Another game tipping off in the same window tonight, the Phoenix Mercury at LA Sparks, with LA a 4.5-point favorite at home. Which way do you see this one going?
So this one's interesting. I think it could go either way, but specifically when you look at who's injured, that's what I always look at first. So when you look at the Phoenix Mercury, they will have Alyssa Thomas and Kalia Copper out. That is two out of the three, out of their big three, basically, when they started this season. So they just signed a new player today on a hardship contract, Haley Jones. She's coming over. She was with the Atlanta Dream. She's going to have to get into the mix. She has no idea what the system is. They're probably just going to throw her in because she's a body. They also are missing their big in Natasha Mack. So when you think about what Phoenix has left, and they're using just their extras, the others are going to have to beat this LA Sparks team that has Kelsey Plum. Like I mentioned, she is second in the league in scoring at 24 points a game. She is on an MVP potential run this season. She did not have a great game against Las Vegas earlier in the week. So I'm going to see Kelsey Plum wanting to come out at home, make a statement.
A few weeks into the season now, has anything changed your mind? Any opinion changed from when we started a few weeks ago, where you feel differently about a team one way or another, for better or for worse here?
For better or for worse, I think the New York Liberty was one of those teams that I said, even in the offseason, that they were going to come in and they have a very, very strong chance of repeating as WNBA champions. And I feel like I undersold it. I think they look even better than I could have imagined. So that's one. On the other hand, a team like Chicago, I was really surprised at how rough their start is. When you look at the roster, and they brought in some veterans, they brought in an Ariel Atkins from the Washington Mystics, who's an Olympian. They bring in someone like Kia Nurse, who's been in the league, made her rounds. Courtney Vandersloot, I thought they would be better. They just picked up their first two wins of the season against the Dallas Wings over this past weekend. But they gave up that number three pick. And we always talk about, what's that number three pick doing right now? She's killing it in the Washington Mystics. So they are looking like that was not a great decision on their part for giving up that three pick. She could have been killing it on their team. It would be just a big what if they did not give in to that trade to bring in some veteran leadership. So little surprise that they're off to a slow start.
One more game on tonight's schedule I want to get to is Minnesota at Golden State. And Golden State, a big home underdog here, 12-point spread. How do you see this game going?
I think that's accurate. I think that is right on par. Even though the Valkyries is the newest expansion team here in the WNBA, historically, expansion teams have not done well in their first season out, just because you're trying to put together this ragtag team of free agents, of people that you're just trying to get to make a team, frankly. So when you have someone like the Minnesota Lynx going up against a team that could probably be in the bottom echelon when the standings are done at the end of the season, This pans out. Nafisa Collier is one of those players who is on a personal mission to get back to the finals and win it this year. This could be her first WNBA championship, as long as she continues to play on the defensive side, on the offensive side. The Minnesota Lynx are almost unbeatable so far this season. They are unbeatable so far this season. They're undefeated. But I think going on for the whole season, they could stay that way.
What have you seen with the Fever? Obviously, it's hard to judge them without Clark the past few games. Do you anticipate when Clark comes back, they're going to be the team to beat? Not necessarily. What are you looking here with Indiana?
With Indiana, I have them as, a top three team, top four team. They made the right moves in the offseason and in free agency to surround Caitlin Clark with experience. That was one of those things that they did not have last season. They went to the playoffs, but everybody was like, I'm new here. Well, what do? We don't know what to do. So they bring in someone like a Natasha Howard, a Dawana Bonner, and those were the right moves. But we're seeing in these first couple games without Caitlin Clark, it's really hard to win without Caitlin Clark. It's really hard when she is the crux of your team. So right now they are holding on for dear life to not make their record slip even more into the losing column without her. But they're just trying to keep their head above water until she comes back.
Jordan Robinson, basketball journalist and host of the Women's Hoop Show, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. On the topic of Caitlin Clark here, she had been the favorite to win the regular season MVP. That now goes to Nafisa Collier. She's listed at minus 260, Caitlin Clark at plus 425. What has Collier been doing so well that impresses you this season?
Well, it kind of carries over from last season. When you talk about the MVP race, first, you can't count Asia Wilson out. I think that's what everyone was talking about when those odds came out with Caitlin Clark being the favorite. People were like, oh, did Asia Wilson pass away? Did she retire from basketball? You can't count the best player in the world out, and especially as she is the reigning MVP. So there's Asia Wilson, who could have another incredible year. Nafisa Collier played near perfect basketball last season, but Asia Wilson was just that great that I feel like we gave her the Defense of the Year award, because it's like, we have to give you some award for the incredible season that you had. Coming into this season, you think about Nafisa Collier, she had unrivaled. She was one-on-one queen from that. She was able to win an Olympic gold medal. She was able to do so much for her career, and she's really peaking at the right time. And she's able to lead this team that really doesn't have any other superstars. This is not a super team at all with the Minnesota Lynx, but Fee is clearly their leader. So it has been amazing to see her on the defensive end, on the offensive end, get whatever shot that she wants. She's virtually unguardable at the four. So this is her MVP race to lose this season.
Because you mentioned Asia Wilson, I want to put her odds out there too. She has the third shortest odds to win the MVP award at 7-1. Jordan, this has been great stuff. Can you let people know where they can find your work?
Yeah, I'm everywhere, but you can listen to the Women's Hoop Show wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen to She's Got Next, which is an Odyssey original radio show about all women's sports. So I'm everywhere. You can find me.
Awesome. Well, Jordan, it was so great talking to you, and thanks for spending part of your Sunday with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Jordan.
Awesome stuff. That was Jordan Robinson, host of the Women's Hoop Show with all things W. And if you want WNBA bets, Tyler Shoemaker does a great job on VSiN.com as well. He has his T-Shoe power ratings. We have quite a few WNBA cappers. Everything you need over there on VSiN.com, the betting splits, the daily articles, the daily best bets, the specials betting guides, all of it. Well worth the price of admission. So sign up over at vsin.com/subscribe. Coming up next, we are taking a look at this baseball season from a unique angle. We're looking at the teams and pitchers with the best and worst return on investment. Some of them might surprise you. This is Live Bet Sunday.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, taking you through all of today's betting action. A couple scores coming to you from the diamond. The Mariners and Twins still scoreless in the bottom of the seventh. Getting a little nervous here about my Twins money line, but at least I was right in that this game is closer than the books made it. D-backs leading the Nationals 3-1 in the bottom of the sixth, and we do have an update on Corbin Burnes, who left in the fifth, he went 4 2/3 innings. Jeff Passan has tweeted he left his start after an apparent arm injury. His cutter velocity had dipped 2 to 3 ticks before that, which is significant. But some genius lip readers online are claiming he said "my elbow" when he had his outburst on the mound. So that would be significant. Definitely don't want to see a guy like him lost for the season, Will.
When you say genius, do you mean that sincerely or are you being sarcastic?
I think it can go both ways.
We do have some interesting developments. College baseball, Vanderbilt, heavy favorites, almost lost to Wright State on Friday night. They come back and win. They are facing elimination again against Wright State, 5-1 heading into the top of the ninth, and a base hit, a couple of walks. It is now 5-3, two out. The go-ahead run is now at the plate, so Wright State is one out away from pulling off a monster upset. But Vandy, obviously the much better team here. You give them life, you give them walks and free base runners, you're asking for trouble. We'll see if Wright State can get one more out here and pull off an upset. Florida is out, Georgia's out. We've seen some crazy upsets, and this is one I don't think a lot of people saw coming here with Wright State. So we'll see here if Wright State can get the final out. Two outs in the ninth. The drama is palpable here. One strike. The count now, no balls, one strike. Wright State needs an out here to eliminate Vandy.
It's our guy Jensen Lewis's team. They can't go out like this.
It is. I forgot about that. You're right.
I know. I feel bad. They came into the field of 64, the number one team in the country, after going 22-11 in SEC play. They finished number one in RPI, number two in strength of schedule, had just won the SEC tournament. They ranked ninth in team ERA, first in XFIP and Sierra. So one of the best pitching staffs out there.
Ball in the gap. That ball is off the wall.
Is it done?
Oh, man. It one-hopped the wall. So they're going to have to send the runner from first back. That would have tied the game. It looked off the bat like it might have been a homer. But one hop goes over the wall. Ground rule double. So now second and third with two outs. Tough break for Vandy.
I mean this seriously, Will, but you should try play-by-play because you're really good at this live reaction.
Ever said about me.
I would like to see it
right off the track and bounced up. I mean, he smoked that ball. So now, man, you can see they're cutting all these fans in the stands. Everyone's got their hands on the head. Both teams, the Wright State fans are nervous because they probably thought they had the game won up four runs heading into the ninth. The Vandy fans are like, how the hell are we here? How are we losing to Wright State? So they're one out away from losing. A base hit gives Vandy the lead. The center fielder is up. He hit 258 for the year. He's 0-for-4 on the day with a strikeout. And Wright State now is talking it over. Pitching coach coming out. So we'll keep you posted on that. Crazy.
Wow, this is nuts. They were plus 120 to make the World Series. One of the favorites to win. But yeah, you definitely don't expect a juggernaut, a perennial juggernaut like Vandy to go out this way. A few of the other ones you mentioned, Georgia was hosting its own regional. They were a minus 220 favorite to get out of that regional. That obviously is not the case. Florida, another one of those perennial favorites. They were not hosting. They were in Conway. Coastal Carolina was hosting the regional. But the Florida Gators still the minus 115 favorite to make it out of that regional. They don't do so. So this is kind of exciting. We came into this tournament with a record 13 SEC teams. I mean, you would think, I would just think looking at the track records, like half of them are going to make it to Omaha, but they're going down. So it's kind of exciting though. And in a less popular sport like college baseball, I think these upsets are kind of the thing you want to see.
Fly ball to right. The guy for Wright State's underneath it. The game is over. Wright State wins. And this is over. Wow. Drama here. The kids are crying, man. This is crazy. Everyone in the dugout's got their hands on their heads. And Wright State is going crazy. A monster upset. They are going to the third regional final in history. First in a decade. Wright State advances. Vandy is going home. Staying home, I guess, because they were already home. Wow.
That was... staying home. They can go out on Broadway tonight to drink their blues away.
I guess so.
That Wow. That was a shock. I'm still looking at Ole Miss here. They're trailing and top of the sixth to Georgia Tech, and they're hosting as well. Ole Miss is down 8-9, number 10 team in the country. So interested in that one too. Another team that always is a perennial contender. Let's get back to pro baseball, though, because I really want to get into this conversation, the best and worst ROI teams this season. And some of these are truly surprising. First, I'll read off the top five most profitable teams this season. Detroit Tigers. If you bet them every game, you'd be up 9.7 units. Washington Nationals, you'd be up 8.3 units. St. Louis Cardinals, you'd be up 8.2 units. Chicago Cubs, you'd be up 6.4. Cleveland Guardians, you'd be up almost 5 units if you bet every game. So Tigers, Nats, Cards, Cubs, Guardians, any of those surprise you to be that they're on the top five best ROI teams this season?
Nats a little bit, but I mean, that's the nature of baseball, where the money line is the great equalizer, where you don't have to be a good team in the standings. You just need to win more than the odds think you're going to win. Those plus 180, plus 195, you win a few of those add up pretty quickly. So the Nats are a surprise, but the more I think about it, you know what? I mean, they are underdogs a lot, playing in that division against the Braves and the Mets and the Phillies. And you know, they pulled some upsets recently against the Mariners and the Diamondbacks. So that one surprises me on the surface. But again, with baseball, if it were as simple as just betting the Yankees and the Dodgers and all these chalk teams every day, you know what? None of us would need to work. It would just be that simple. But it's not that easy. That money line is a great equalizer.
You're right. I was surprised by the Nationals too. I didn't expect them to be top five. I expected them to be above average.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's just because of the offense was a little bit undervalued. But the bottom five teams in ROI, some surprises. Chicago White Sox, you'd be down 10.4 units if you bet every game. The Braves, you'd be down 10.5 units. The Athletics, you'd be down 11.4. The Orioles, you'd be down 17 units.
Wow.
And the dear old Rockies, who have won 9 games. If you bet them every single game, you would be down $3,100.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Who would do that? Why would you do that? And I guess, you know, we were talking, I think it was yesterday's show. They're getting bet at some of these books because some people just go by their numbers and they have the numbers at, you know what, this team shouldn't be plus 350 on the money line or plus 360. So based on value and the probability, I'm going to take them. Okay, that's a tough way to make an easy living. They are just dreadful. 9 and 50, however you cut it, unless you're getting some serious prices, it's going to be hard to it's going to be hard to account for. I'm be fascinated once this season ends. We'll be talking football and NFL and college football. I'm fascinated to see how many wins they ultimately end up with. They talked about it yesterday.
Jeez.
Over under June wins was 9.5. I bet under. I mean, they've got 9 already, and they've got 9 the whole season in 2 months plus March. And they're really going to win 10 games in June. I know the schedule's a little easier. They got the White Sox, the Marlins. They're just a dreadful, dreadful baseball team. They have no pitching. They have no offense. They really don't have much going for them.
Yep. That is the only way we will win money on the Rockies is fading their win total. So excited for that one. I thought the Braves and the O's on this list make sense. Actually, the one that was surprising to me was the Athletics. They have been one of my favorite bets as an underdog the past two seasons, but the market's caught up to them. I didn't expect them to be bottom three in ROI this season, but it's kind of interesting. I will tell you, we're running out of time, but looking at the top five ROI pitchers, Jackson Jobe, Robbie Ray, Sonny Gray, Cal Quantrill of the Marlins has the fourth best ROI with a 6-5 record. How did that happen? That's the only one that truly surprised me.
That's a good bar bet. You go to a bar, you'll win a lot of money on that one. That's one I wouldn't have gotten. That would have taken me a lot of guesses to get to Cal Quantrill for sure.
I know. I'm going to remember that one. All right. Coming up next, we begin the third hour of the show. We'll get some more MLB bets in, go back to the Memorial Tournament, get you set for the rest of this Sunday evening. This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN.